Good morning, everyone. Excited to be here this morning. So I warned you that we're going to do some different things this morning. And so we're going to have a couple testimonies from a couple young men. I had a third, a young lady, but her anniversary was this weekend, so she declined. I mean, she actually volunteered, and then she told me she couldn't do it, so we'll do that later. Just wanted to kind of set the stage a little bit. I've been amazed. In my life, and I've talked about this a few weeks ago, that in Ephesians 4, it talks about us being unified in the Spirit. We're extremely alike. If we have placed our faith on Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross and the resurrection, if you are in Christ in that way, then we are unified in the Spirit. We have one Spirit. However, there's another unity in Ephesians 4 that he says we're trying to attain to, and that is the unity of the faith. We're not all in the same place. We have different levels of faith, let's say. And so one of the ways, obviously we preach the word every week, and that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10. But there's another tool that the church has to build each other's faith. There's something, I keep being amazed at how there's something contagious, or there's something that transfers from the faith of one person to another. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. So I have asked two young men. These two young men have just come into my life recently, this last summer, and I didn't really know their stories necessarily, but I'm getting to know them, and so I'm kind of excited to hear this too. I did read one of them last night, and I think you're in for a treat. And so I've asked Keith Yoder and Johnny Robeson, and they're going to just go back to back. I've introduced them, and so I'm going to ask Keith to come up. I'm going to pray for both of you with Keith up here. And then, Johnny, when he's done, you can just come up and take the mic and go. Lord, I just praise you. Thank you. Thank you for your family, believers. Lord, we long to be in a place where we are loved, where we are accepted, and our stains don't matter to others. And so we just praise you. Thank you that we get to get out of bed every morning 100% forgiven. Lord, we are guilt-free, shame-free in Christ because of what you have done, the message of the gospel. I thank you for that. I pray right now for these young men, Lord, that you would empower them through your Spirit to speak your word to us this morning. And more than anything, Lord, build our faith. Encourage each other this morning as we are speaking how you have worked in our lives, worked in their lives. And so encourage them, be with them. Empower them, and I pray that your word would come through this morning and that you would do a work in our body, that we would leave here energized and empowered by the Spirit to preach your message to those around us who do not know you. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.
All right, so good morning, everyone. Thank you. Thank you for saying good morning back. All right, so as mentioned before, my name is Keith Yoder. I just started coming here earlier this summer and just getting involved in the small groups and stuff, and it's been a real blessing. So I just wanted to share my testimony. Sometimes I feel like Carl likes to drop things on people. 2 weeks ago, he was like, "Hey, Keith, you want to share your testimony?" And then this morning, he's like, "Oh, by the way, you're going first." So it's all good. I appreciate it, and I can't wait to share just what Jesus has done for me. So I've been going to church pretty much my whole life, but in the past 2 years, God has made the gospel more real to me than ever before. So my story is going to be entitled, "I Thought I Was a Christian." So I could start by going into the past and what brought me to where I am now, but I do want to emphasize Christ and the impact that Jesus has had on my life. So just bear with me, guys. I'm going to be kind of got a little script to keep me from bunny trailing off. So I grew up going to church. There was church on Sunday. We went. There was church on Sunday night. We went. There was church on Wednesday night. We went. And apparently I had sat through enough services, revival meetings, communion services, and et cetera, that by age eight, I made a decision to ask Jesus to come into my heart. And later on, at age 14, I also had another experience that I knew I was changed, and I believe I experienced the Holy Spirit just touching my life at that time. But also around this time, I also really struggled with lust. And I don't mean to make my struggle at the time bigger than God, but at the time in my life, it kind of was. And I gave into sin a lot more times than I'd like to recall. And that produced a lot of regrets. Even though I was struggling during this time, I also had times where I was just earnestly crying out to God and just seeking Him. And so I got to, there'd be points where I would feel close to God, and then I felt away from God. But at some point when I was 16, I just knew that I was called, that God had me on a journey that didn't know where it was leading, but I knew that God was leading. But I would go back and forth. I'd be one day lost in sin, another day I'd be fasting and praying. In several ways, I was a hypocrite. I looked good on the outside, but inside, all kinds of turmoil was taking place. I want sin. I want Jesus. I would cycle back and forth. Even sometimes, just to make so I didn't feel so hypocritical, I would just say, forget it, and go all in, taking in darkness for weeks at a time. All the while, I'd be going to spiritual conferences, camps, all kinds of different stuff. People knew me as someone who loved Jesus, but they didn't really know the inside of my life. So during this time, I used to listen to a lot of like rap and hip hop, which I still like it, the Christian kind, of course. But it was almost to the point where it like changed my identity. It really like changed the way I walked and talked. It was crazy. It's crazy how stuff like that has a can like have that impact on you. But it did. But anyway, it was like just in my life, it was like I thought that if I gave my life to God once, everything was all good. Nothing else, mattered as long as at one point I had given my life to God. The crazy thing is I would look at other people's lives and be like, man, like they're way off. I'd look at other people and say that they're hypocrites. And I was so self-righteous. I really blinded myself like that. So, this was during the time I was probably 14 to 16 years old. All this was happening. I'm still struggling, but God is helping me. I'm crying out to Him, but, yeah, so I'm going back and forth during this time. Anyway, so I'm 18 now. I go to Bible school, and I was like, man, I'm gonna change here. I know that I'm gonna, God's gonna get a hold of me. I'm gonna change. Everything's gonna be different. 6 weeks to this, and I'll be good to go. I thought my life would change. I even stayed for the next term, which was also another 6 weeks. But my first 6 week term, I felt called to overseas missions. And God, it seems like He just radically got a hold of my life right then and there. And I just surrendered everything to God. I told Him I was all in. This was in 2013. And by this time, God had already sort of started the cleaning cycle in my life. I attended a conference, a seminar that dealt with deep life issues, unforgiveness, bitterness, and I had all kinds of that stuff. I had so much baggage of unforgiveness, sin, regret, and bitterness. I was carrying it around. It was like a cloud over me. In the summer of, that was God. During that time, God was starting to clean me up, and I was very convicted about. I told so many lies, and I was like, man, I got to confess this, and I was so convicted about it that at one point in my life, I was just, that was all I was focused on, just confessing my lies. And, God cleaned me up, He did the right, He did it. Then in the summer of 2013, I went to a Christian youth camp. There I had another surrendering moment. Up until that point, I hated myself for my past. I was filled with so much regret and shame and guilt wherever I went. Like I said earlier, it was just like a cloud. I took with me. But I had the weight of sin on me, and I chose right then and there. There was an altar call moment happening at the camp, and I chose right then and there to confess my sin, and no matter what it took. So, I mean, part of that was I asked God for the right opportunities and to just set it up for me. So back to my missions calling, I still felt called to missions at the time. And in 2014, I went for another term at Bible school. I believe I was 19 then. I wanted to study missiology for future missions preparation. And it was actually there that God provided the opportunity for me to completely open up to one of my mentors by my regrets. He got me in contact with a counselor who recommended long-term counseling at Pure Life Ministries in Kentucky. At first, I thought that going to counseling means you're a loser, but now that I've got it, I look at it totally different. It's just incredible what God can do. I came home in that April, I believe, and I talked with my parents and pastor at the time and shared with them my struggles. And it wasn't easy, but they all stuck with me. And it was like God had just set everything up. He made it possible for me to confess my sin and to lose that weight. It was like every time I would confess my sin, to different people I had to talk to, my burdens would just start falling off. Around this time, I also really started getting into the Word and establishing the start of an intimate relationship with God. And I'm really grateful for that, because I was going through probably, I'd say, the hardest time of my life, facing up to myself. Not easy to do, but I had to do it in order to go forward and get through this. And I remember reading the Psalms. That was like my biggest comfort during that whole time. I was just be spending time with God almost every day, just getting into the Word. I would open it up to the Psalms, man, and it was just made such an impact on my life. Yeah, it's incredible. So, where am I at? So, my burden's just coming off. You know, I decided I was gonna wait to go to this Pure Life Ministries before. I was gonna wait until after the summer. I had told my dad I would help him do construction during that time. So he kind of held me to my word. He wouldn't let me go. So I was like, all right. But no, it was cool. In January of 2015, I finally went down to Pure Life Ministries in Kentucky. It's a small, it's a ministry, counseling, discipleship ministry for guys, struggling with sexual sin. And I mean, it goes through the whole range of, you know, whatever, from the smallest to the biggest, you know. So I was just, I'm just grateful I was able to be there. Imagine running a marathon and finally you get to the end. Oh, thanks. Thank you. If you could just imagine with me, you're running a marathon and you finally stop at the end. You're finally at the end and you're, you're huffing and puffing, but you're done. You know, you're safe. That's how I felt. I felt like I had like just slid into home, and I'm safe. I'm here. All right, God, what do you want to do with me? You know, just God, do whatever you got to do, because I want to change. You know, I want whatever you've got for me. That was what my mindset was. I'm like, I'm not leaving until you're done. In a way, I feel like my life got restarted when I was there, at least spiritually. When I went there, I saw how backwards and insane my thinking was. I didn't realize how much I needed God before then. It was like, I don't know. I don't know why, but it never occurred to me how much I needed God. And I think it's something I always would take for granted. Like, you know, I'm breathing today. You know, I woke up today. I could have died, but no, God kept me alive. It was just like in those times when I would see how crazy I was, I just cried out to God. I would spend time with God and just ask him to help me and change my mind. With the way the mission, the program is set up, the counseling program, I had a counseling session once a week, and then we had like worked like a normal job, and it was like we had some different services throughout the week that we were we would attend, like a prayer service, accountability services, and it was just it was awesome. It was a lot of, I would say, a lot of breaking, and it wasn't comfortable, but it was good for me. Because it just, it really just shattered everything I thought about God, and it helped me to reframe, the way I see, the way I saw God. It was there, man. I had an incredible hunger for God. I learned to seek God with my whole heart. Jesus taught me there that, faith overrides feelings. And that was probably one of the most important lessons I learned while I was at this counseling ministry, was that, you can't live by your feelings. You have to go by faith in what the word says. God even showed me, I remember having just a moment with God, and he said, and I believe he showed me that even in some of my darkest moments, he was right there with me. He was right there, by my side. And, I remember just breaking down at that point, man. I was just so grateful. I also learned that forgiveness is a privilege as a child of God. It's not a burden. It is a privilege that God gives us. And I also learned the power of the cross. Probably the most important thing for any Christian to know is how God's greatest expression of love is in the cross, as I understand, and. But his greatest expression of wrath is also in the cross as well. Just depends how you look at it, either one. It really impacted me when I sat back and took a look at it for the first time in my life. Anyway, 8 months later, in September, I graduated from this program. I went back down to Kentucky. After that, about a month later, I moved back home for a month. Went back down to Kentucky, living kind of in the same area with some other fellows who were like-minded, and we decided, you know, we're going to go after God, and we all kind of lived together and just pursued God. And then I moved back home this past April, and I decided to search for a new church, and after searching around different churches, I stopped my searching when I found a new home with a great big family with real people. And for that, I'm super grateful. I mean, I'm just counting a privilege to be here. And since then, God has been showing me things in his word that I've brushed over, and he's making it completely brand new. Like, I don't even know. Like, there's been so many things that I would just, if I get into the word and I'm reading over it, it's incredible how God does that. But I believe the Holy Spirit does that. He gives you things when he sees fit. And I've had several different times that that God has revealed things to me that I'd never saw before. And it's really been awesome. Just being part of the discipleship groups, accountability, men's groups, small groups. I mean, it's an awesome, awesome thing here. I've been continually seeking him and finding him. It's like now I just have this sense of just this knowing that that God's got me. I don't have to like worry about it. I know that God's got me. I believe that he has a hold on my life like never before. And there's a little passage I want to share with you guys, something that means something. I mean, I think that it's the way we should live. And, yeah, so it's in 2 Corinthians 5. I think I'm just going to read from 14 to the end of the chapter. So, for the love of Christ controls and urges and impels us, because we are of the opinion and conviction that if one died for all, then all died. And this is the verse that I found, but I was like, you know, you got to read the whole thing. But man, this is my target right here. And he died for all, so that all those who live might no longer. No, I'm sorry. And he died for all, so that all those who live might live no longer to and for themselves, but to and for him who died and was raised again for their sake. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint and as a man, yet now we have such knowledge of him that we know him no longer in terms of the flesh. Therefore, if any person is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us to the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into the harmony with him. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them, and committing to us the message of reconciliation of the restoration to favor. So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal, as it were, through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered to you and be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become the righteousness of God. So that's all I've got. That's my story. And I just want to say thank you guys for listening.
Well, when Carl asked me to write my testimony, he kind of gave me the perfect recipe for a testimony too. So this is what I based it off of. My testimony should tell the story of what led me to Christ, how he saved me, and how he has affected my life afterwards. So here it is, and I'll just sum it up to try and get through this quickly. I used to be a very violent person, and I loved to fight. I had a mouth on me and only used my words to hurt people. I was lost in darkness and in rage. As it is no longer I myself, but it is sin living in me. And I never saw a way out because what I was seeing going on in my life was even more horrible than what I was doing with my life. I see another law at work in the members of my body. My life was filled with pain and suffering, hurt and hardships. I watched my entire family turn into zombies from the drugs. We used to have to scoop snow into a tote to bring it in the house to melt so we could have water to even take a bath. I saw good people turn really bad very fast. In the neighborhoods we lived in, they weren't neighborhoods at all. They were war zones and casualties happened. Everything I saw was bad, and in return I turned bad. In the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Like I said, I just got lost in it all. For what I do is not the good I want to do, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. It wasn't until I was 15 that I decided to get away from it all, and honestly I didn't have a choice. The moment I found out I was going to be a father, I freaked out. Who I was couldn't be a dad and I couldn't just walk away. Who will rescue me from this body of death? So I had to start cutting ties with people, from the streets to the school. I didn't want to talk to anyone anymore. I just wanted to read baby books and print better fighting techniques to study. But because of my anger, I ended up dropping out as a third year freshman. But I had a family and I was determined to find a way to make something for them. Of course, just like every brief moment of happiness, here comes the rain. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. I get a phone call that my grandma died and it destroyed me. So I was sitting in the room with Nevaeh when her mom got home from school. My eyes were swollen from crying all day, and she asked me, "What's wrong?" I told her I found out my grandma died, and she said, "Oh, well, we need to talk. I'm breaking up with you." That sent me over the edge, making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work in my members. And I took my anger out on anyone that stood in front of me except my beautiful blessing. When I held her, I felt like there wasn't a care in the world. But in Ohio, the mother has full custody unless you're married. So when she took her, when she left, she took her, even though I was the one that took care of her. That started a nasty custody battle, but Daddy did it. I got full custody of my daughter. During the custody battle and what little time I was in school, I met my son's mother. We started dating 5 days before Nevaeh's first birthday. And fast forward 3 years, we're welcoming our baby boy Caden in the world. Life was starting to look brighter for us, and we did good for a long time, but fast forward another 2.5 years to when I lost custody of my daughter. I lost a part of me, and it wasn't hard to notice. Just the thought of dropping her off at school and not being able to pick her up would bring me to tears and throw me into a deep depression. I see another law at work in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind. I went downhill fast, and my son's mom couldn't stand there and watch it, so she took my son and went to her mom's. I was left to sit in my own destruction and deal with what I caused. I couldn't do it. The silent house where I used to hear laughter, the empty beds where my family once laid their heads, even the front door haunted me, from when I used to walk into my baby screaming daddy's home. It was all just too much. So I took 3 bottles of medicine I was prescribed from a recent car accident. I went to my truck and I ate all of them, and went to give my mom one last hug. It was God that got me through that night, and I knew he was reaching for me, but I wasn't ready. I just wanted to take care of what family I had left and work towards one day getting my baby girl back. But the harder I tried to hold on to what I had left, the more I was destroying it. And I didn't notice it until it was too late. For I have the desire to do good, but I cannot carry it out. I tried to provide a home and everything they needed, but she couldn't stay with me because I was suicidal. So she took my son and left for good. I wasn't able to see my son or even so much as talk to him on the phone. My daughter's in a place she's not happy, and I only get to see her talk to her on the weekends. That's when it hit me. I've single-handedly destroyed everything that mattered most to me. At this point, I only saw one path in front of me, and there was only one problem left. Every time I closed my eyes, I could only see my children standing over at me at my funeral. They were hurting, they were crying, and they were in so much pain, but there was nothing Daddy could do. And that's when I realized they were already hurting, they were already crying, and they were already in so much pain, and there was nothing Daddy could do. So what's the point of being here? I couldn't find one, and I couldn't be here anymore dealing with the things that I've done. I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. And that's when I not only saw a miracle, but became one. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here I was sitting in an empty house again, no one around to stop me but plenty of demons to leave me. I started writing to the ones I loved, and when I was done, I grabbed a rifle and put it to my chin. What a wretched man I am. I screamed, heaven or hell, I don't care where, just take me from here, and that's when it happened. I put pressure on the trigger, and when I did, I woke up. Now I went from sitting forward to leaning back on my couch, just laying straight back, and the gun was perfectly parallel with my chest. I know it was God, for in my inner being I delight in God's law. It had to be him. There's nothing else on this earth that could have pulled this off. So then I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law. But I didn't know why he did it. Why me? Why did God save someone like me? Well, I decided I was going to church to ask him, and it wasn't just answers that I found. I found a chance for a new life. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. I found hope when I was hopeless. I found life and death. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free. I found that I don't have to be the man I was before, from the law of sin and death. I found a home right here at Agape. I found a purpose, but most of all, I found God. He knows there's more to me than what I was. He knows who I was isn't who I wanted to be. He saved my life when I wasn't even looking to be saved. I didn't want life at all. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature. But by his wonderful grace, I found life and death. I decided I was going to give it all to him, and I mean everything. Everything that's in me. And everything that comes out of me. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. I'm giving him my entire life. He's brought me to redemption. He's brought me from a place that I never thought I could get away from. In order that the righteous requirements be met. In order the righteous requirements of the law might fully be met in us. He's taken all of my aggression and anger. The mind of a sinful man is death. And he's replaced it with peace and understanding. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Says it right there, Prince of Peace. I don't feel like there's a fire burning inside of me anymore. We have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature. Instead, I feel faith. Faith that Christ is living in me. Faith that he has full control and he has a plan. It was all the hardships and pain that led me to become a living miracle. And I know, why does he keep calling himself a miracle? He's thinking too much of himself, right? Does he think he's special? Well, to be honest, I don't know. All I know is that God wanted my life for some reason. And like Carl said a couple weeks ago, when you reach the end of yourself, that's where you'll find God. That's where I found him. And now that I have found him and I've seen what he's done for me, from not only giving his son's life for my sins, but he was tortured for the things that I've done. And he still wanted to save my life, even though I've sinned all my life. How do I not owe him everything? Why should I not put my very life right there at that cross? I can't think of one single reason why I shouldn't. He's changed things that have been inside of me for so long and has made me a completely different man. So fast that I actually have hope in my future for as long as I live by his word. So when you look at me, I pray you don't see me at all. I pray that you will see Christ in me. And I want to ask each and every one of you that if you can't see Christ in me, then please tell me and please give me scripture to study so I can live by God's word. I've been a slave to Satan for too long. I've been a soldier to the streets for too long. And I've been a subject to suffering for too long. It's time to be what I'm called to be, a son of God. So here we have it, a quick story of what led me to be saved, how he saved me, and how his grace has affected my life and where I'm at with God. So to summarize my testimony, just read Romans chapter 7, verse 4 to chapter 8, verse 6. I made sure to put it in there. Bear with me on this too, because praying out loud is something I've been working on, but it says it right here. Let's end in prayer. So, Father, I want to thank you for letting me get up here and just tell them my story. And I pray that I got a clear message of how your mercy really does work and that anyone can be saved. Father, I want to thank you for saving my life and blessing me with all these wonderful people, these caring people, this family that you have blessed me with. Lord, my life is yours to do what you please with it. And in your heavenly name, I will walk and I will pray. Amen.
We get done a lot quicker if Carl doesn't preach, huh? That was fantastic. I've just had the privilege to work with these two young men or in our group kind of for the summer, and it's just been a blessing. And I don't want to stretch out. My wife said it's okay to end early. And so I do want to just say, if you're here this morning and you don't understand everything that was said, I just want to let you know, we all sin. That's, no one argues with that. But there is a way. We get, if we want, to pay the price for our own sin. But who would want to do that? Because we have a friend and Savior. We have Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, came to this earth, and he lived perfectly without sin, went through this last week, because we need one human being to have one perfect life so that we all get credit for it in him. And then he died for payment for my sins, so I do not have to. And we can say, hey, I don't accept that, I will take care of my own sin, but who would want to do that? And so he died for the price of our sin. He lived a perfect life that I get credit for. And he rose again to establish that it's all true and that we will rise again with him. And I just want to tell you that. I was sitting here and I was going to come up here and talk about 2 Corinthians 5. And Keith, you did it for me. So that was beautiful. And I just want to let you know that in Christ, we are a new creature. And what that actually means is not, it's not symbolic. It's, you are a new species of being since the cross, before the cross, has never walked this earth, but since the cross, as a believer, as born again into his kingdom, we have a heavenly Father. You are a new species of being that has never been on this earth. You are not from this world. You are from his kingdom, from his place. We are not from here. In fact, he went on and read that we are ambassadors for Christ. And I've talked about this several times. An ambassador is somebody, a representative of one land sent to a different country and takes up position. And I've talked about the embassy we went to in Cuba, and it had all this 16-foot high fence around the embassy. And they had guards sitting, you know, about every 50 feet on this embassy around that, because if a Cuban could make it into the territory of that embassy, he is on sovereign U.S. soil, and the U.S. does not extradite. If a Cuban can make it inside the fence, He is on U.S. soil, and he comes to the United States. And so they guarded that embassy to keep people out. We, you, and I, if you're an ambassador for Christ, we are sovereign territory of the Almighty God on this earth. And it's a beautiful picture. And I just want to paint that picture a little bit, because as you go out of here, just listening to Johnny's testimony, I mean, I read it last night, by the way, and I cried all the way through it. I just want to tell you, there are many people in this town that need to hear the message of the gospel. There are many people that would hear it and understand it and place their faith in Christ. And so I just want to challenge us as a church. Find a way. Yes, live. Be light that people can see, but be salt. Go out and be part and speak the message of the gospel. It's the only way people come to faith is by hearing the word of God, the message of the gospel. I'm going to ask you to stand up, charge out of here. Thank you, young men, for sharing again. I just appreciate it. I know it's not an easy thing, and I just appreciate it so much. Lord, thank you. Praise you for who you are. Lord, we stand in your presence, and by faith, we know that you looked down on us and you saw us as creatures that you love, as humans created in your image, that you love us, and yet we sinned. We chose sin, and we were separated from you. Thank you, Lord, that you did not walk away from us. Thank you that you did not abandon us, but that you created a way. In your amazing wisdom, Father, you created a way for us to be reconciled to you. I just praise you for that. Thank you for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, that you are willing to do something no one here could or would be willing. And so we praise you for your love, for your mercy, and for the work on the cross. Thank you that in your glory, death could not keep you, that you were resurrected, and we will be too. Lord, I pray if there's anybody in this room that does not have faith in you for that, I pray, Lord, right now that you would just seize their heart. It's beyond human words. You need to do this through your spirit. I pray for a spirit of conviction and just seeing truth, eyes being open, scales falling off eyes, being able to see your truth of the redemption that you have offered. Just praise you. I pray, Lord, as we leave here, that you would make us ministers of reconciliation in our town, in our community, in our neighborhoods, in our families, at our workplace. Lord, cause us to see the urgency of the time that we live in. Thank you. Go with us in power. In Jesus' name, amen.